If you've lived in the Northwest for a while, you've probably heard about the big one, the major earthquake that will wreak havoc on the West Coast sometime in the near or distant future. This week, an article in The New Yorker, written by Catherine Schultz, put a national spotlight on the story of the Cascadia Subduction Zone. The Cascadia Subduction Zone sits just off our coast. It runs from Northern California to Vancouver Island. What makes it so dangerous? Sandy Doughton is a science reporter for the Seattle Times. She wrote the book Full Rip 9.0, The Next Big Earthquake in the Pacific Northwest. She told Kim Malcolm that there is a rule of thumb in seismology. The bigger the fault, the bigger the quake.
The Cascadia subduction zone is not only long, it's about 600, 700 miles long, but it's also very wide. It's the place where two tectonic plates meet and rub against each other. So there's a huge surface area involved, a huge area that could slip. And that's why subduction zones generate the world's biggest earthquakes.
What will happen to the Seattle area if a large earthquake, a 9.0 earthquake, hits from the Cascadia subduction zone?
Well, it's inevitable that it will someday. And what will happen to Seattle will be very, very prolonged shaking. When one of these subduction zones rips, it takes a long time for it to rip. And so that means during the whole interlude that this fault is ripping, 5 minutes perhaps, the ground here will be shaking.
5 minutes long.
5 minutes, which is incredible when you consider in most earthquakes, the ground shakes about 20 to 40 seconds. And, you know, single-family homes might actually weather that fairly well,
as long as
they're bolted to the foundation, because they're frame construction and it's very flexible. So you probably won't see a lot of single-family homes collapse, but all of our old brick buildings are just going to be on the ground. And there's a big question as to how many of these old concrete buildings we have here in Seattle. No one has done an inventory yet. Los Angeles just recently started taking a look at how many they have. And these are dangerous because they can pancake in an earthquake where the floors just collapse on each other. And that's something we haven't even started grappling with here.
Scientists have recently been able to say that these big earthquakes that occur in the Cascadia fault line happen on average about every 240 years or so. And the last major earthquake happened back in the 1700s. So that's over 300 years ago. What do those numbers tell you?
Well, a lot of people want to take those numbers and say we're overdue for a big quake, but it doesn't really work like that. Quakes don't occur on a regular schedule at all. And so if you look in our geologic record, some quakes occurred within just a couple of hundred years of each other, and some were separated by almost 1,000 years. There's also a little disagreement among scientists about that 240, 250 year figure, because it's based on the interpretation of mud cores from off the coast of Oregon that indicate that there have been, you know, in addition to 20 of these massive quakes that rip the entire subduction zone, that there have been about 20 more that rip only the southern half of the subduction zone. And so when you factor all those together, you get that 240, 250 year recurrence interval. But not everyone is convinced that all of those earthquakes, that as many earthquakes have occurred on the southern half of the subduction zone. So the number might be, you know, one in every, an average of 300 years. It might be 350. No one really knows.
The Cascadia subduction zone isn't the only area to be concerned about. There's also the Seattle fault line. What do we know about that fault line?
The same tectonic forces that are responsible for the fact that we can get these megaquakes on the coast are also responsible for squeezing the Pacific Northwest and causing the formation of a series of faults that run generally east and west all across the Puget Sound region. So we have the Seattle Fault that runs through Seattle. There's the Southern Whidbey Island Fault that's a little bit north running through Everett. There are faults up in Bellingham. There are also faults on the east side of the state. So in addition to the risk of these quakes off the coast, we can also have these quakes that strike closer to home. And these are not, you know, nearly as powerful as the type of megaquake that we get on the coast, but they can be very damaging if they occur right under an urban area.
And how often do earthquakes happen on the Seattle fault line or fault lines that run east-west?
Well, really, the answer is no one knows for sure. The last one that we know of on the Seattle Fault was about 1,100 years ago, and it was a pretty big quake, and it thrust up the coast of the southern tip of Bainbridge Island by about 20 or 30 feet, and did the same in West Seattle along Alki, and I live out in West Seattle, and it triggered a tsunami in Puget Sound. But the recurrence interval on these shallow faults is not very well known. I've had some scientists tell me that when you look at them collectively, maybe we get one every 1,000 years, but they're not nearly as active as the big fault on the coast, which is a relief.
If we were to get an earthquake directly from the Seattle fault line right under the city, what would the city look like after that?
It's hard to even think about, because I think it would be pretty terrible, because the ground in that kind of a quake would shake much harder than it's going to shake when we get one of these coastal quakes. I mean, that's going to shake for a long time, but it won't shake nearly as hard as the Seattle Fault. And for buildings here, a quake on the Seattle Fault is actually considered our worst case scenario.
Not from the coast.
For big commercial buildings, the Seattle Fault is the worst case that they build for. And I frankly don't think that many of them are built to stand up to that level of shaking. So, I mean, I think we would see a lot of buildings fall in downtown Seattle in a Seattle Fault quake. And a lot of houses would also be destroyed, just because of the intense level of shaking. The one good thing about that is that the shaking will be most intense closest to the fault. And so the further away you are from the fault, the less damaging the effects.
How about the infrastructure? Bridges, roads, water pipes?
Yeah, our infrastructure is not in great shape to stand up to any kind of a powerful earthquake. We've been making a lot of progress, and I think about 1,000 bridges across the state have been retrofitted, and some of the major bridges here in Seattle, like the Ship Canal Bridge, have been reinforced, so they probably are not going to fall down in a major quake. But things like our plumbing, our water systems, our sewage systems, our electrical systems, those are much, much more vulnerable. And we really need to be hardening those quite a bit.
You know, news stories come out periodically reporting from you and others about fault lines in the Northwest, and people read them. And imagining what the scenario could be can just be overwhelming for people and just terrifying. How worried should people be about this kind of scenario?
Well, you know, you can work yourself into a tizzy about everything. And you know, my philosophy about this is to educate yourself. Don't turn away from it because you think it's too scary to think about. But just consider what could happen and what you as an individual can do, and then what you as a citizen can do. And as an individual, you know, you can get your emergency kits together. I know everybody keeps putting it off, and I did for many, many years, but now I have three. I've got one at my house, I've got one in my car, and I've got one in the office. And that just, you know, just kind of takes a load off your mind. You can develop a plan to get in touch with your family members, because people are going to be in different places when this happens. And the number one thing you're going to be worried about is, how is everybody? Where is everybody? And so you can set up a contact out of state, because often those out of state calls will get through. So everybody can check in with that person, and then you'll know that everyone's fine. And then you can just learn to be aware of your surroundings and think about, you know, what would you do if a quake struck now? You know, we could get under this table. You know, just think about that, but don't be paranoid about it.
You've reported on this for years. It's coming up in the news again now. What is it about the way we think, the way we anticipate bad things coming, that stops us somehow from preparing properly for what we know will happen?
The hardest thing to wrap our heads around is the fact that we know it's going to happen, and we don't even have an inkling of when. So it could happen, you know, as we sit here right now, or it could not happen, you know, for 100 years. And so, you know, in the face of that uncertainty, the easiest thing to do is nothing. And I think that's just human nature.
Sandy Doughton is a science reporter for the Seattle Times. She wrote the book Full Rip 9.0, The Next Big Earthquake in the Pacific Northwest. She spoke with KUOW's Kim Malcolm. There's more information about how a big earthquake might affect our region at KUOW.org.